I'm going to start using Axl Rose songs at the beginning of all these segments.
See if you could get a getting mad, you know, tease him with some
Brownstone. That'd be cool if Trump came out to Mr. Brownstone. Mr. Brownstone, but we're going to tackle the opioid epidemic. I don't think that heroin is an opioid. It is, of course. He wouldn't say that. This is not rehearsed at all. This is very off the cuff. Most of the things I say have never been thought about until after they've been said. It's either a gift or a miscalculation. But either way, we're welcoming you here to the Glenn Keck and MAGA Dave podcast. It's election night, 2018, the midterms. I think it's been an interesting night. I think it's sort of interesting what's happening. It's interesting the process. Fox News. I don't know what to say about it, man. They're kind of pissing me off, and that on top of that, they're also bad mouthing Sean Hannity because he went on stage at Trump's rally. Now the thing about Hannity, and I know this is way second tier to what's going on, but the thing about Hannity is he's always been up front and said that he was not really a journalist, that he was like a TV host that gave you the news sometimes and was opinionated and was biased. So I don't, you know, it's not like he's not like Anderson Cooper, who is biased as shit, but says he's not. And so if he got on stage at, you know, a Hillary Clinton rally, I think that would be a bigger deal because he claims to be an unbiased journalist. He's obviously not, but Sean Hannity is never ambiguous about it. So I don't know what that's about. These people, Fox News, I think, is like slowly being infested with people that want to fit into the mainstream of news. They want to be respected by other newsrooms. They're tired of being the butt of everybody's jokes. These are like millennials, and they're slowly like infecting Fox News. And maybe it's been going on for a long time. I don't know. Fox News, it's interesting because you see a lot of these races, and this was maybe like an hour ago, that a lot of these races were like 10% reported. And Fox News said, well, we're going to go ahead and say that the Democrats have won the House of Representatives. Polling places out west, I don't think, close until like 11 p.m. Eastern time. So polling places, you know, last minute, people are getting off work. They're trying to go make it to vote. And Fox News is saying, hey, fuck it, stay home. The Democrats have already won the House. I was pretty shocked by it. And then I looked online because I'm watching it on the TV. And then I've also got the app open that I've been kind of paying attention to back and forth. And they have these meters that say who's going to control the Senate, who's going to control the House. And that, you know, that's tied in, and it looked into, there was a little section that said, well, this is how we come to our conclusions. And a lot of it was like, well, we take data from last year. We take data from what we think the demographic of it. Like half of it is just them guessing. I was pretty appalled. It wasn't like, you know, and I'm sure that they're going to be right in a lot of the races, but I don't know, man, that just seemed pretty weak to me that they were calling, you know, going ahead and calling some of these races. Man, they're showing right now that John James right now is down to that Debbie Stab now in Michigan. That John James, that guy has got a future in politics. I hope that he's able to come back. It's really, I know that the media loves when people watch watch this stuff on TV, but it's really deceiving because, like, for I don't know, for a couple hours, it looked like Beto O'Rourke, which his name is Robert Patrick or whatever, Robert something, Robert O'Rourke. It looked like he was up with like 48-50% of the vote in, and then they've got Karl Rove, who looks like like a Chris Farley's maybe like uncle or something. He looks like a potato, sort of. He doesn't have the same form. Like, he doesn't have shoulders, you know.
With shoulderless fat man.
He talked like about how
he's like a weeble wobble.
He's like an egg. He's like Humpty Dumpty. But you know, talking about they're like, well, this. All of, you know, all these districts are left, and these are the really conservative districts. And so I'll just go over real quick some of the notable what Fox has predicted and what most, I guess, outlets that I've looked at are predicting, and people on Twitter, is that the Democrats are going to take the House by a very slim margin. And the Republicans are going to gain 3 or 4, maybe more seats in the Senate. So I think one of the first places to start. And here's the thing. With this podcast, we're not going to break down the numbers for you. We're not going to go into all the individual races in depth. I think you can go a lot of places if you're wanting pure stats, you know, thrown at you. I think it's more just a... this is more just of kind of an impression that a normal person gets from this. One of the big ones, or two of the big ones in Florida, looks like Rick Scott is going to beat Bill Nelson. They're still saying it's too close to call. Rick Scott's up by 58,650 votes, 50.4% to 49.6%. It looks like Rick Scott is going to win. So that's a big one. Rick Scott, if for those of you who don't know, Rick Scott was a very popular governor of Florida. Florida has term limits for their governors. And so Rick Scott decided to run for the Senate. And Bill Nelson was the incumbent, a Democrat. So Rick Scott, a popular governor, looked to unseat the incumbent Democrat. And it looks like he's going to. It's under 60,000 votes. I don't know how exactly the runoff and the things like that work in Florida, but another one that is another one that's real close to call, but it looks like the Republicans going to win is DeSantis. And this is a prime example, I think, that Fox. Well, before I go into this rant, what is your impression, Maggie Dave, on, you know, obviously they haven't called him yet, but what it looks like those two really heavily contested, those really important races in Florida, it looks like the Republicans are going to win both of them. What's your offhand impression of that?
I think Republicans gaining things right now wouldn't surprise me anywhere, just because of the shit show the Democrat Party has become. Now, it is kind of surprising me that they're winning, you know, House seats. But then again, you know, there's just people out there that, you know, they don't like Trump. They don't care that he's lowering taxes and all of the good things he's doing, in my opinion. You know, they just don't like him because he's Trump, and that's what they've been told to do, is not like him for whatever reason. And, you know, another great example is New Jersey. It looks like they've elected that Menendez guy, you know, right, who's been corrupt. Corrupt as all get out, you know. And they just re-elect
Puerto Rican teenagers.
Yeah, basically, you know, having sex with underage girls and then, you know, all kinds of corruption. And it's like, yeah, let's just reelect him. Like, I think he got like 70% of the vote or something. I mean, it's just, you know, states like that, I just wonder about. I just like, man, you know, people really don't give a shit.
That's like the Gillum and the Andrew Gillum and the other race in Florida, guy that was under investigation. He was busted by Veritas, which I wonder how much impact that is. But, you know, it's weird. And it's almost like, it's like this Democrat strategy of let's just blame Trump for a bunch of bullshit that's not true. And here's why I feel like I can say that pretty confidently. It's because Trump hasn't been arrested or anything yet. They haven't come up with any evidence. So it's all been pretty much just BS. So it's like they throw all this stuff at Trump, make him look like a criminal, so that, you know, these Democrats will go, well, he's a criminal, but hell, the Republicans are electing criminals. So we got to do what we got to do to defeat Trump. And that, you know, putting that above obvious ethics. And it's what both sides are accusing the other of doing right now. You know, it's kind of putting ethics. But this is that example I want to give real quick about what pisses me off about Fox News is I think it was maybe a little over 50% of the vote in, and the numbers for the Scott Nelson and the other one, the Gillum and DeSantis, were both about the same. I mean, they were obviously so like neck and neck all night, and they were saying, well, it looks like Scott may win, but they were just basically saying that DeSantis had already lost, that he was going to lose to Gillum. How could he? It looked like Gillum was going to be a really easily beatable, and then turned out he wasn't. And they talked up until like the last minute, like DeSantis had lost that one. That was pretty much a foregone conclusion. And I guarantee you, man, it was their little group of geniuses, you know, sitting back there making these predictions. And it's what I don't like about it. If the polls are still open, you shouldn't say anything. And Fox News, I mean, anybody who's listening to this podcast, I always defend Fox News usually, because I defend them just from the aspect of they're the only ones giving like the conservative side. Every other news outlet has at least a liberal lean, if not a strong liberal bias. And Fox News is the only one that caters to the other side. You know, so, but I it's just been kind of infuriating because they keep calling the House for the Democrats, but they even say if it's going to happen, it's going to be close. It's obviously going to come down to precincts that haven't closed yet. And it just feels a lot like tampering, man, any way that they can. I think there's a lot of people that think, I don't know, man. I don't get it. You know, they had Lindsey Graham on. He's touting all the gains they're going to have in the Senate. And basically the good news of that is that they're just going to continue to be able to push a bunch of judges through. Trump's going to be able to stack the courts, the federal courts, with Republican judges. So that's a good thing. The bad thing is that you're going to have Maxine Waters. I think she's going to be ahead of like the finance.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Schiff is going to be in charge of like the intelligence, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. And okay, it says Gillum concedes race for Florida governor. So he was a far left guy. He was a guy who had, you know, had he'd had like an FBI agent give him tickets. he had had a trip to Costa Rica. The FBI had been investigating this guy. Who knows what's going on with that? But and Project Veritas came out with his aide basically calling Florida a cracker state. You wonder in the last days, because it came down to just, I mean, under 100,000 votes. You wonder how much that Project Veritas video, you know, swayed the vote. Because it's, I mean, that's a razor thin edge. But DeSantis is going to win with 4,013,976 as compared to 3,934,962. So I love it. I love seeing this guy concede. He was really one of the cocky people that used race baiting from the beginning, accused DeSantis of being racist, you know. But so let's assume for a minute that the Dems are going to take the House. What is the next couple years of politics going to be? Because the difference between when we've had the House the last couple years, the media has been actively working against, you know, Congress. Devin Nunes comes out with all this, I hate to say bombshell, but he comes out with all this, you know, incredible stuff about how basically, you know, Obama was spying on the Trump campaign and all this stuff. And the media is just constantly running interference for the Democrat Party. Well, now you're going to have the Democrats running the investigations, and the media is going to be eating up everything that that they want to push out. And Lindsey Graham, when he was on Fox, said that what he learned from Bill Clinton is it's just going to blow up in their face. I don't know. I just – things are so just kind of jacked up right now that it seems like – with the Democrats in charge, it's just going to be, it's just going to be really annoying, because it's going to be a bunch of bullshit and nobody trying. It's because the Democrats have had no interest in going after the truth. So they're not going to have, they're going to, their interest is going to be in burying the truth. Now, the one thing I guess you can say is that the House will be a narrower margin. But still, Dave, what's the next couple of years going to look like if this stuff holds true? And I'm just not going to be sold on it until I see the numbers. But if this is what happens.
Well, if they, you know, if the Democrats do get the House, you know, it'll be, it'll slow down basically everything that's being done economically, I think. I think the economy stuff will slow down. I also think you'll just see a whole lot of, if you enjoyed the Brett Kavanaugh stuff and the past 2 years of just the total chaos and just stupidity, then that I'm sure there'll be loads of that to go around. So it'll be basically, in my opinion, I think it'll just kind of, it'll slow everything down, except for, you know, they still, they can still do the judges and stuff, you know, like you were saying, Lindsey Graham was pointing out. That's a very important thing. A lot of people overlook that, but that's extremely important to put, you know, put some judges in place and everything.
Right. Well, another race they're talking about right now is Claire McCaskill, and I think his name is Josh Hawley. Mm-hmm. It looks like Hawley is, he's up right now 53% to 43%, but there's only like 48% of the vote in. There's mm-hmm. still some heavily Democrat areas that are going to come in. This was something I was reading earlier. They had a big effort in Missouri for Black Republicans. They were canvassing in like St. Louis, Kansas City, different major metropolitan areas, and they were getting harassed by the police. Like threatened with arrest, and they were only harassing the Black Republicans, never the white Republicans. Mm. It was pretty like pretty jacked up and pretty obvious. Another one they're talking about here is it looks like in Georgia, that Brian Kemp is gonna probably. Oh, no. Kemp has been up all night, but I think there's still some of the heavy counties, Democrat counties, that are going to come in. And they're hopefully, because that was another one where Stacey Abrams is an idiot. I mean, some of the stuff she was saying, she had like the Black Panthers showing up out front with, rifles. I don't know if they were AR-15s or what they were, but they were. I know in Georgia, I think you can walk around with a rifle, but they were standing on a corner with rifles. It's like, you know what? The Democrats don't want you to be able to stand there with a rifle. It's part of the irony of the Democrat Party, of the people that want to take away the rifles. They don't have a problem talking about taking away. They call them assault style weapons. Now, you really, if you were in the military, you wouldn't use a weapon like that. As you know, an AR-15 would be useless if you were a soldier. But it's almost like they're just talking about what they look like, and the weapons these guys were carrying definitely look like, something heavy duty. So it's like you're going out to what, intimidate people so that you can get the party elected who's going to disarm you, and you know who they're going to give those guns to, right? They're going to give those guns to the guy you think is Hitler.
That's right.
Because that's what happens. If Trump just says tomorrow, you know what? I think we ought to. They're calling the Missouri race for Hawley. So that's another one. Claire McCaskill, now Heidi Heitkamp, they both. And this is I don't know if I should say this or not, but I actually called both of them after the Kavanaugh thing and said, look, I'm not a resident of your state, but I just wanted to tell you goodbye. Because I knew, and right now the Republicans have gained 3 seats. They took Joe Donnelly's seat in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They took McCaskill's. They've taken Heidi Heitkamp's. Now, I think there's a couple more out there. Marsha Blackburn won in your fucking face. Taylor Swift. Now, see, the majority in the House is 218. Right now, the Republicans still have, and what I'm guessing is where I think this comes from, where they're predicting, even though right now the Republicans still have more seats, is that when all of these, like, West Coast
they're banking
on the fact that.
Or it's California.
California.
Yeah. Because there's a crap load in California. There's like 53, I think. 53 yeah, right. Seats in California. So, I mean,
Hawaii,
that's what they're banking on.
And Washington, they're thinking that those are going to come in. But there's, the California is really kind of like Florida, right? Like the North is more conservative. The South is more liberal. I know that San Francisco is kind of in the middle area there with the Bay Area around Oakland. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I'm not going to say that I'm an expert on how the political structure of California aligns, but. There are a lot of Republican parts of the state of California out there. So I'm sure these people are looking at these districts that normally go Democrat. That's what I would love to see, though. I'd love to see some of those California counties that normally go Democrat that have probably been seeing how awful things are going in their own state, and, you know, deciding to go ahead and make a difference and vote Republican. It's kind of crazy, because on the one hand, it's really bothersome to me to concede that the Democrats are just going to take the House, and that we're going to have to deal with this. But at the same time, you know, this is politics. It's kind of the ebb and flow of it. What I honestly was hoping was going to happen was I was really hoping that that the Democrats were going to suffer such an epic defeat tonight that it was going to force them to kind of take a look inward. Not that they necessarily would have, but I almost feel like that's what it's going to take for them to really take a, because I think that the Democrat Party needs to be reimagined. What do you think it's going to take to get the Democrats in position to want to actually affect positive change in the country, as opposed to just kind of being a negative force?
Like you said, defeat. I mean, just, you know, if they, like, kind of unprecedented defeat, you know, if they ended up losing the House tonight, you know, and were defeated, I still think, just, again, from stuff I've been reading, you know, mainly online, and the kind of the reactions that the mainstream media has had, they're still, you know, they're going to pump it up if they win the House and all that, but their reactions, it's not what they thought, what they wanted. They wanted a blue wave, you know.
Right.
I have a referendum on Trump, and it's just, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen.
They needed the Senate. Right,
it didn't. Yeah, they needed the Senate, and it just didn't going to happen. Now, they're going to do everything they can, and, you know, to obstruct and just cause problems, you know, the whole time for the next 2 years, basically. It's just going to, I think, personally, kind of stalemate a lot of it. But, you know, Trump's a smart dude, you know,
right.
Contrary to what some people might say. A dude's been through a lot in life. He's done a lot with his life, and he knows how to handle these guys. He's proven that several times. So you never know what'll happen, what he might, you know, think up, or what he might go through. I mean, you just never know. It'll be interesting to see if the Democrats do win the House, kind of the, you know, the, how people will handle the craziness, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, it still kind of blows my mind that they still have, I guess, somewhat of a support group, you know. I don't know. It's kind of an odd time, in my opinion.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not a crazy leftist, so I don't think like them. I don't think and look at things the same way they do, obviously. Thank God.
Yeah. hopefully – they take an opportunity to, you know, try to work towards, because I think that this should show the Democrats that just being in opposition to Trump isn't enough. You know, having no message and not contributing to anything positive isn't going to work for them. That if they're going to even try to hope to beat Trump, because, you know, the Republicans didn't hold everything, but this definitely wasn't what people were expecting it to be from the beginning. And the kind of crowds that Trump is drawing, he's still immensely popular, and the Democrats don't have anybody who has stepped forward that has really distinguished themselves. I think that Elizabeth Warren kind of hurt her popularity with the whole DNA thing. I don't think that anybody really believes that Kamala Harris or Cory Booker, you know, have any kind of a temperament to win over voters. Right. And, you know, I mean, who else is there? Hillary Clinton coming back, Michael Avenatti. I don't know which one of those is worse. but, you know, Trump is just going to destroy them. And he's also going to, he's not going to have to primary. So he's going to be out there just beating the campaign path, going all over the country, speaking directly to the people. And his, you know, his base is going to be fired up. There's a certain extent that I think fatigue is going to set in to some of these Democrats. And also, you know, if the Democrats are smart, they're going to start trying to work with Trump, just for the kind of the positive image. You know, I keep watching this House thing, and Democrats, Republicans continue to stay about 10 seats ahead. Now, I know a lot of this stuff is coming in, but I mean, they're already calling elections in Hawaii. So I don't know how far out some of this stuff in California, like I said, I know some of the polls weren't going to close until about 11 Eastern. But I'm curious. And really, the fact that anybody would think that some of these news predictions are infallible, then what, they weren't paying any attention to the past few. But I think already, if you look at Trump's presidency, you see somebody who said he was going to do things. He has done them. He has a higher popularity rating at this time. And Obama was hemorrhaging from the midterm in 2010 on, hemorrhaging different seats, governorships, House of Representatives. I mean, he lost like 1,200 seats during his time as president. It all started in the midterm. So already, I think you have Trump is, Trump is already doing better than Obama at that point. Man, did somebody just tell Juan Williams, like, hey, will you kick it up to fucking insane dipshit?
I think about those people on TV, you know, like you were saying about Fox News earlier. I think a lot of these places want to be able to say, we called it here first, you know.
Right.
I think that's a lot of it, honestly. And then, you know, Juan Williams, he's obviously just there to have some sort of reaction, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, you know. It's right. Just
he's a token, you know, idiot.
Yeah, he's the token crazy idiot, you know. He gets on there and just says stuff, and then the other guys have people to make, have something to make fun of him about. Right. So he's kind of like the kid on the other basketball team that, you know, is really bad, and you want him to guard you so you can look good when you play, you know.
Right. You have Greg Gutfeld and Jesse Waters that just try to see. They just try to outdo each other on saying sarcastic shit about Juan. Oh yeah, Greg. Jesse Waters. He seems like a mix between like Jesse Palmer and Dennis Miller.
Yeah, he does. The Jesse Palmer.
No, he's a mix between David Schwimmer and Dennis Miller.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah, it's a blast from the past. That's who Jesse Waters is. He's Ross from Friends mixed with Dennis Miller.
Damn.
Yeah. And maybe that's like a little epic. Bit of like old. Well, no, I'm not going to go there. Have you seen some of the pictures lately of Johnny Depp?
Yes. He looks... He looks like he has a bad illness. Honestly, like when I first saw, there was a picture of him and he looked white as a sheet and he was hairless. And I thought something, I was like, oh crap, he came down with cancer or something, you know?
Well, I'm sure he's got some sort of STD that's incurable. He takes like blood transfusions to stay alive. But my biggest problem with him was he was tucking a t-shirt into his jeans. It's like, what happens? What happens to like old like guys who were super cool, and then they get old like Keith Richards, you know, or fucking Eric Clapton? They're like tucking their t-shirts in to their jeans. It's like, man, you're not fucking proving anything. God.
And with no belt, probably. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to tuck your shirt in, for right. God's sake, put a belt on, man.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld was brave because what he wore was never cool to wear.
That's right.
He came up with a style all his own, and it never took off.
Yep, and so that it was a win-win gamble because if it didn't take off, then it was just his. You know, his show was so successful, and people liked him enough. It was just like, well, that's his look. You know, that's his look for right. the show. You know, and if it did take off, they're like, oh yeah, that's a Seinfeld look.
I mean, it's on the cusp, but he had like that quintessential late 80s, early 90s. Like he had kind of a mullet and he wore sneakers with jeans.
He was very
fucking tucked his shirt in.
He was very transitional for the styles of the decades. he transitioned us from the late 80s into the 90s. It was like a calming transition because Seinfeld, you know, kind of exposed us and got us used to seeing things like that.
It was a generation of kids that grew up on like Led Zeppelin and the Allman Brothers, but then when they got to be adults, their favorite music was like the Georgia Satellites and, you know, Molly Hatchet.
Bop, 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 yeah. I love that song.
Or like, what's the one that does Sultan's a Swing? What's that band?
Sultan's a Swing, Dire Straits? So,
Dire Straits, yeah.
Yeah.
Dire Straits and the Georgia Satellites. But they grew up listening to like Led Zeppelin, and they just weren't teenagers. They were kids. They could tell you, like, my dad, I love him to death, and you know, he taught me so much about music, and he exposed me to a lot of different old blues stuff that I never would have heard any other way. But he also like gave me some very bad information. He told me that this was actually a pretty common mistake, so I don't blame him, but he told me that Tom Sawyer was by Led Zeppelin. And I was like in junior high, and these kids were talking about Led Zeppelin, and I had heard Led Zeppelin. I was, you know, familiar with my, like my dad listened to the classic rock stations back then, but I was sitting at the freaking cool kids table. I had just started being able to sit there in the mornings because I was like going with this one guy. I was like, oh yeah, man, I love that badass Led Zeppelin song, Tom Sawyer. And this guy was like, that's Rush. It's like, oh, fuck, man. And like, even like, yeah, it was brutal. Fucking brutal.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
It was your womp womp moment.
But, you know, and not that, but my dad, he kind of represents that too, because he used to have a feathered haircut on the top, but then really long hair in the back, and he would braid it, and he would wear these like jean shorts that were cut real short where the pockets were hanging out, and it was crazy because he was the manager of these apartments, and you know, I was a teenager, I was a kid, and these college girls that were just a few years older than me were throwing themselves at him. But, you know, that style that he had, like, I've never watched a movie and seen somebody dressed like that before. Maybe Captain Ron. He kind of dressed like Captain Ron.
Captain Ron. Holy shit. That's awesome.
Maybe.
He was Captain Ron. My dad dressed like Captain Ron. Sort of.
Well, like probably Kurt Russell and my dad probably had a good while where their wardrobes were just, you know, different shades of income. with the same kind of style.
Different shades of income. Man.
I said awesome. I said a really profound thing earlier today, and I can't remember it. I was going to save it for tonight, but yeah. Anyway, whatever. It happens so occasionally. It's like that Mitch Hedberg joke where he says, well, I think of something, I write it down, unless the pen's real far away. I have to convince myself that what I thought about wasn't that funny.
Damn.
They're saying the Montana race is too close to call. That's the John Tester and Matt Rosendale. Trump was really working hard to unseat John Tester because Tester, as some of you may remember, released a bunch of bogus information. Trump nominated the White House doctor who wasn't just his doctor. He was also, I think, like Obama's doctor. I think he was Bush's doctor. He nominated him to a cabinet post. I can't remember which one it was. It may have been Secretary of Health or something. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. We don't do that on this show. But we go off memory, not off internet.
Not off facts.
Off like internet exploration. Internet research, but he nominated him to a cabinet post, and John Tester came out with a bunch of stuff during the confirmation process, leaked it to the media, saying that like he had a pill problem, and that you know he was under investigation, and that he had had problems with this and that. He drank at a big party and like did something out of line at the party, spilled beer on somebody or something like that. And the secret service agents were talking about what an alcoholic he was. And it all turned out to be BS, but it was enough that, I think his name was Admiral Jackson. I think he was a Navy guy, but he just dropped out, you know, wasn't going to try to go through the process. And I think that if you look at it, anybody who wants to say, oh, well, he must be guilty. I think that if you look at like what happened with Brett Kavanaugh, people are seeing how dirty it can get. Now the House is Republicans 152, Democrats 147. It's tightening now. The race is to 218, and it has been for most of the time I've been sitting here watching. A 10-point deal. Now it's four. Now it's down to four. 152 to 148. So Senate is still Republicans at 51, Democrats at 44. We're looking to see how many seats they're going to pick up in the Senate. So as this stuff is rolling in, Dave, have you looked up any articles, anything that you want to go over?
I found this one on Shapiro's site, and I'm not the biggest fan of Shapiro. I go back and forth on him. You know, I still feel like he's a never Trumper at heart. And, but he has his usefulness. I mean, he's got all those videos you see on YouTube of him debating people, just shutting people down on arguments. You know, he's got his,
right.
He's got his thing. He does well, you know, but there's an article here, on his site by Joseph Curl. Don't know who that is, but, you know, it says, here comes the crazies. Nancy Pelosi is speaker, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, Elijah Cummings, in leadership roles. And it goes through talking about who is it? Elijah Cummings will be the House Oversight Committee. And right. So he's going to It says here he'll probably revoke security clearances of Michael Flynn, Jared Kushner, how to, you know, go investigate, what's his name, the EPA chief, Scott Pruitt, you know, when he left and everything. You know, this is what it's going to be, is that all of these people that I just named off are just going to do anything they can to just halt, make a circus. You know, just, they're just going to go for anything they can. I think in my opinion, that's what they'll do. Now there is, you know, something that, it'll be entertaining, because Trump's not the dude that's just going to sit there and let them do what they want. He's going to fire back at them. So
right.
It'll be an interesting 2 years. I mean, there'll be lots of, quote unquote shit slung around. There'll be a bunch of bull crap, you know, especially with Auntie Maxine in there. She'll be, there's no telling what she'll be trying to do.
I tell you what, man, I guess the biggest sort of shame of it all is that we had control and we didn't really do anything with it. I mean, we got some, Trump got some big wins. You know, with certain areas, but who knows what's going to be undone here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really disappointing that the Republicans kind of took for granted. And there's an ebb and a flow to this. And, you know, it's kind of naive to think. It was naive whenever the Democrats thought that they were going to that they were going to just completely obliterate the Republican Party, and the Republican Party was going to have to go back to the drawing board, and they weren't going to win another election again for a while, and this and that. And then they were surprised. So I think to a certain extent, you know, there's an ebb and a flow, and some of the best times of our country policy has come from when you had two different parties in different positions of power. That's where the checks and balances, are for. And fortunately, we've also got a majority in the Supreme Court. So that's going to probably come into play. But, you know, having the Democrats in a position of, they're not even a full check, because they're just part of Congress. So, you know, they're only one part of the two parts of the congressional check. But having mm-hmm. them in a position of power is scary right now because of their rhetoric. But, you know, hopefully they kind of get the message that people, for the most part, aren't into it. And if they can tone it down, you know, I've always thought that Trump is the kind of president who would work with anybody who's willing to work with him. I think he's shown that whenever, whether it's, you know, come to Kim Jong-un or anybody who's come forward and wanted to work with him, he has willingly, you know, decided to work with him as long as he felt like they were genuine. And I think that Trudeau in Canada was one of those guys that was not genuine. And so he was somebody that sort of fell by the wayside. But I think Trump has had a willingness that if somebody genuinely wants to try to work with him, he's been open for that. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if the Democrats decide that they're going to continue this strategy, and if that's how they think they can defeat Trump, or if they're going to have any kind of inkling to pull their head out of their ass and for the good of the country, try to do something positive, and realize that with the media so closely allying, it's not, you know, it's not this world where, like, if the Democrats worked with Trump, the media would just give Trump all the credit. I mean, right. They're going to say whatever they're told. or whatever, you know, whatever. It's never going to be that, well, Trump did all this on his own. They're going to look, they're going to look and say, and so it wouldn't just be a big win for Trump, but I don't know. This whole thing is just a lot of it's talking in circles. I think a lot of people, if that's what the Democrats are going to do, I think a lot of people are going to get tired of politics. And I think a lot of people are going to maybe take some time off. I know I may. And Twitter and Fox and CNN and Facebook and all these, they're all going to suffer for that. If things just get ugly, people are not, they're just, you know, they're not going to want to, they're not going to want to sit there and endure the bullshit day in and day out. It's been tough already, but if it's going to be, if it's going to be a deal where it's just banging our heads against the wall every day, I think that people are going to kind of tune out. What, you know, are you going to be interested in the daily onslaught of what the Democrats are going to try to do? Or are you going to just try to live your life?
Yeah, I think, man, I think it's those people I named off earlier in that article. You know, they've proven what they're going to do. They've even said it, you know. Schiff, he had an interview where he said they were going to investigate Russian money laundering and Donald Trump's businesses, and he was going to work in tandem with Maxine Waters' focus on potential money laundering schemes involving the Trump campaign in Russia, and he will work with Robert Mueller, special counsel. You know, I mean, it's going to be, it's like you said, I think people will get tired of it. You know, they're just going to keep looking and looking and probably even make some crap up. I mean, that's their goal. Their goal is to get Trump out of there. Well, it's been made up
from the beginning. Right, exactly. That's the thing. They can work together with whoever they want to work together with. But bullshit's bullshit. So, you know, you can dig around, you know, all you want. But, you know, I think it's pretty ridiculous, you know, at the end of the day. And I think we saw sort of the Republicans take the same. That's what they did when they got, you know, they put Hillary Clinton for Benghazi. Mm-hmm. They did the IRS thing. There was the Fast and the Furious. The big difference was the Obama administration had the media on their side. Right. And also had Obama had an attorney general that was, you know, willing to and had the cover to do whatever it is he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Called himself his Obama's wingman. So I think Jeff Sessions is going to get shit canned or resign before the year's up. I think that Trump, with the fact of the Democrats taking the House, I think that Trump is going to probably bring in an attorney general who's going to be a little bit more hard-nosed and is going to look to run, you know, a Rudy Giuliani type who's kind of unabashedly going to bat for him.
Right.
I also, you know, I think that's why Sarah Sanders is stepping back. I think that's why there's some of these people who are stepping back maybe saw the writing on the wall and just thought it's just going to be it's just going to be a shit show. They got Nancy Pelosi talking.
Right. She's the speaker. She's going to be the speaker if they win. She'll be the speaker. Maxine Waters will be over the Finance Committee. Schiff over the House Intelligence Committee. And that Cummins guy, I forgot what I said he was going to be over. But, I mean, it's that just
oversight.
Yeah, I mean, they've in interviews, they've already said that what they're going to do. I mean, they're just going to turn it into a big shit show. It'll be a shit show for 2 years. And probably not a lot's going to get done. So, I mean, probably not, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, Trump, you know, he's been doing some crazy stuff, dude. He's been doing a whole lot of good for the country. So maybe he can, you know, get some stuff done somehow.
You know, and Trump, at the end of the day, Trump is a, it's like the line from The Godfather. Whenever Michael is firing, what's his name? God, I hate this when I do this.
Fredo.
No, Tom, Robert Duvall.
Yeah,
whenever he's telling Robert Duvall, he needs a wartime consigliere. See, I think Trump is a wartime guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's that when there's all this silence, then, you know, this is the time that sometimes it gets the turmoil gets to Trump. I think he is a guy who revels in the street fight, going to bat. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that the Democrats ultimately won't really be able to go anywhere, right, because they've got the power to subpoena, they have the power to recommend, but they don't have the power to do anything. And the Senate is going to be well within the hands of the Republicans, so that even if, you know, a guy like Mitt Romney wants to play games, some of the senators that have won now from the Republicans are firmly Trump people. They're most, you know, certainly going to be, they're going to be Trump's people. And I think there's only so much the House can do. And they can gloat and they can whatever, but, you know, they know that they didn't get what they wanted to get here. They know that all they can do is really make noise.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like that the GOP has really held on to the governor. A lot of the governor positions out there. So I just don't see how the Democrats can look at this election and think that it's any kind of a victory. And it's kind of funny that Nancy Pelosi's out there yapping her fucking jaw, and it's not a done deal. These people are, I mean, right now, the Republicans are only up by one seat now. And so obviously it's mostly West Coast, West Coast states that are going to be reporting. So probably the Democrats, but it's a little risky for her to start talking beforehand. But, you know, the last couple of years, man.
Well, it's Nancy Pelosi, so she.
Yeah. Well, and she's talking right now like it's a done deal, but how many people are for sure going to nominate her as the Speaker of the House? I mean, there were plenty of people that talked about that they weren't excited about her being the Speaker.
Yeah, there's I was just reading something. I've lost it now. But, yeah, there's some Democrats out there that are in Congress that were they were saying it's time for Pelosi to go. Not today, but, like, you know, within the past few months, you know. Right. They were – and, you know, a lot – Maxine Waters is 80, Pelosi's 78. I mean, you know, it's just these, you know, it's going to be crazy because they've made their, you know, we know what they're going to do. We know what they're going to do when they get in there. And, you know, if they get in there, I should say, you know, it's just going to be one thing after another, like you said. And I just think that Trump kind of does thrive in that sort of atmosphere and that sort of environment. You know, he's used to it. It doesn't bother him. You know, he does well in it. I think the best thing, something I forgot about was he still hasn't released all the FISA memos yet either. I mean,
all right.
He's, you know, I just have to trust in Donald Trump right now, and hopefully, you know, we're getting some good, at least senators in there that are going to back him and speak up for him, you know, instead of, you know, being like, oh, Paul Ryan, you know, who was just basically a doll. He just sat there and never.
Yeah, he didn't do shit.
He didn't do jack crap. I mean, that's what happens, you know, that's why the Democrats are winning, you know, in my opinion. You got a bunch of guys that, you know, didn't give a shit. You know, he even went against the president. So, I don't know. We'll see how it comes out. Like you said, it's really not. I mean, if they end up taking the House, it is a loss in a way. I mean, I'm never going to look at it as a win by any means. What, you know, if we end up losing the House, but you have to, you know, just take what you're given and deal with it. You know, and there's nobody better right now than Trump to deal with it. You know.
Right. Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, I think that everybody kind of feels like a loser tonight and in some ways. I think it went as well as it could have for Republicans as it pertains to the Senate. The fact that it looks like we've gained 3 seats. It was a 51-49 advantage. So, you know, gaining 3 seats will be huge. We may even gain more. There's still the, and this I guess wouldn't be a gain, but the Arizona is still close to call.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's some things out there. It looks like for the first time in this House thing, the Democrats have taken the lead 160 to 159. So they still are, you know, a ways off, like 58 seats to be the majority. So this is going to continue to come in. I think what we'll probably do is take a few days after this one to kind of digest and see what the reaction is. I'm curious to see if the Republicans try to do anything before the year is over, whether they, I don't know exactly how Congress works in the aspect of when they're going to be in session, but if they try to make the tax cut for the middle class permanent, you know, Pelosi, they have said that they're going to try to undo some of that stuff. But I mean, they have to have the Senate. The House can't. You know, it was proven by how things have ran the last couple of years, because Paul Ryan, especially in the beginning, did try to repeal Obamacare, and it just kept getting killed in the Senate.
Right. Yeah.
So there's no major policy that they can make with a small majority in the House. And so, you know, it's going to be kind of smooth sailing in a certain aspect of how the Senate's going to run. And the House is basically just going to be about putting on a kind of dog and pony show. But mm-hmm. Mueller is going to come out with his report at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that he feels like working with Adam Schiff is any kind of a credible position to take. Adam Schiff really showed himself to be a major partisan hack. So even though I don't trust Mueller, I'm not saying that I think he's going to end his investigation anytime soon. I do think he's going to report some findings. He may report just enough to give the Democrats a sniff at trying to impeach him. But, you know, this was not a good night for this was not a good night for Democrats. It was not a great night. It did not send a great message. They picked up some seats, but traditionally they normally would have picked up a lot more. It wasn't what happened during Obama's time. So they're still going to be people in the House of Representatives, they're Democrats, that are going to have some pressure at times to not be ludicrous. And they're going to have something legitimate to try to impeach Trump. Maxine Waters can squawk and squalor all day, but she's been in there for 40 fucking years. She hasn't done shit. Nobody knew who she was until she started making all this ridiculous noise about Trump. She sounds like an idiot. If I was like, if a woman in my neighborhood acted like Maxine Waters, she'd be the crazy old bat. You know, so she's not interesting. She's not compelling. And she's only used her time in Congress to enrich herself. So I'm not super worried about what all she's going to get done. You know, she's going to go on CNN a bunch. She's going to make a bunch of noise. But, you know, there's only so much that she's going to be able to do. And the Senate is just going to bitch slap all the stupid shit that the House of Representatives tries to do. And, you know, at the end of the line, you sort of have Trump. And I think that Trump is going to enjoy stirring shit up. I think he's going to try to bring the worst out of the Democrats in the House. And that's going to work for him as it comes to 2020.
Right. That's another point I wanted to make. There was a theory floated around. I'm sure it's still out there that Trump actually wanted, you know, the Democrats to take, you know, the House so that he could expose, you know, and kind of secure his reelection in 2020 and expose the Democrats for. And it's a good setup if they do end up winning the House for a guy like Trump. You know, that's kind of his thing. He can, you know, he's done it the past 2 years. You know, he's kind of they've, you know, he's been drawn them out of the woodworks and really shown what they are about and what they stand for and what they're willing. I mean, you know, Pelosi's already said she's going to like try her best to do away with the tax cuts. You know, I mean, I don't get that, man. I mean, right. You know, for a politician to come out and say that, man. I mean, I know there's always some people that are going to vote for you that are crazy, but I mean, golly.
Well, you know, it's funny. My boss actually was telling me that she says that she's a moderate. She was actually telling me that she thought that Trump's tax plan, that we were going to have to pay for it, or that her son was going to have to pay for it, and that she wasn't getting, even though I know she's middle class, I know she's getting a benefit from it, but she says she's not. She said she's going to actually have to pay more in taxes, and she thinks that it's going to, I mean, there's this delusion that Democrats tell themselves to be against something, like, yeah, the tax cut. So there's plenty of people out there who kind of have like these half-baked sort of stupid objections of why they're against it. There's plenty of people who are out there, their paychecks are bigger, and when their paychecks get smaller, they're going to complain about it, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to know why.
I don't know. I just like the concept of the government keeping more of your money just blows my mind. Like, why anyone? And it's also been proven since Trump, you know, the Fed's been taking in records amounts of tax money, because when you create more jobs, that's more taxpayers, that's more people paying money in, that's more people spending money, that's more people paying taxes. I mean, it's been proven several times, you know, throughout history, that when you do that, it actually increases tax revenue.
Man, I bet this Gillum staffer that was saying all that stuff on the Project Veritas.
Oh, Crabman from My Name Is Earl.
I bet he's hiding out somewhere.
Have you ever seen
My Name Is Earl? My Name Is Earl. Yeah,
that dude looked like Crabman. That's who I thought of. I was like, oh, it's Crabman.
Yeah, because this was tight. I mean, it was, like I said, DeSantis, was at like, he's at like 4,023,323 Andrew Gillum was at $3,945,000. I mean, so it was, it was a razor thin. But another one, this Rick Scott, they're saying it's too close to call. It looks like he's going to go ahead and win, though. And that would be another gain for them as far as Senate seats. That would put it at 4. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Arizona race. But if that's, if we were to gain 4 and put it, 45, 45 to 55, that would be considerable.
Yeah.
That would be a considerable advantage. And there is power in somebody like Mitch McConnell, because I don't like Nancy Pelosi, but I hate Chuck Schumer, and I'll trade you a Pelosi I'll trade you a Schumer for a Pelosi. You can have Pelosi, because I don't even think she has a real. See, the Democrats' strength is not. It's not their diversity of thought. It's not, even though they say diversity is their strength, there's nothing diverse about the Democrats. That's their strength, is that they just get in line. They all do the same thing. They don't right. have diverse, it's not like, well, this woman is an African-American from an inner city who worked her way up. And this is a white woman who came from a privileged background, but they're going to get together and use their different experiences to try to find. No, it's like, these are two women who are victims, and in their victimhood, this is how you need to act. These are your marching orders. It doesn't matter where you came from or what you bring to the table. You will vote this way. You will do this. And they do it. They fall in line. And it's actually funny, because I don't agree with the concept that diversity is strength. I think it's kind of stupid. But if anybody is diverse, it's the Republicans. It always has been. I mean, it's not like it's a new thing. But you have libertarians. You have neocons. You have these hardline conservatives. You have sort of these moderates, these middle of the road. There are so – we've got the Tea Party – there is such a big difference, even if you just look at political voices. Put Ben Shapiro and Gavin McInnes and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin all in a room together, and I'm sure they would all get along. But they even people like Rush Limbaugh and Ben Shapiro, or Rush Limbaugh like Mark Levin, have markedly different opinions about things, and they have very different observations. Rush Limbaugh is an unabashed Trump supporter, and Ben Shapiro is a Trump hater. Any way you slice it. He gives him credit because he knows he has to, because that's where his, Ben Shapiro's fan base is. But if he would be just as fine, just as at home at a place like MSNBC, where his job was to really play that sort of Max Boot Bill Kristol. And I think Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh are coming from very different places. There's a very diverse set of ideals. If you put all those people in the room together, did a Bill Maher type show where you had Rush Limbaugh as a central figure, and you brought in Gavin McInnes and Ben Shapiro and Owen Benjamin, different, and James Woods, you would have some major disagreements, because there is a great diversity in the way that conservatives think. It's not that diversity is a problem or a strength. It just depends on what you have in common, to sort of anchor it. So it's like we can disagree on what to do fiscally as long as we know that we agree on that we love our country and we want a good, you know, place for our children, and we are Christians, and we can have those things in common and then have very big differences in sort of the way we approach certain issues. And it, you know, it's not like I would go and say, well, okay, well, now they're calling the race for Scott. But, you know, even you and I, who have a lot of similarities in opinion, we also have some pretty fundamental differences. And, you know, I just don't think you get that in the ranks of the political Democrats. You know, the average Democrat, maybe. There's a big difference between sort of these hardcore leftists and, you know, the Democrats, just the everyday average person, everyday average Democrat. There's a major difference between those two groups. But politically, the politicians, they all take marching orders. They all march to the same drum. But that's why Trump had a difficult time getting things done, because he had so many people to appease. He had, you know, the Rand Paul, John McCain, Jeff Flake, Susan Collins, the one up in Alaska. I don't even, Lisa Murkowski, Bob Corker. I mean, he had so many different people that he had to try to appease that, that there's just a real diversity of thought in the Republican Party that is lacking in the Democrat Party. But they really know how to command control. Right now, the House count is Democrats up by 5, 171 to 166. Still trying to get that 218 number. Some of the Oregon, California, some of these things are starting to. Ted Cruz won. Big surprise, Dianne Feinstein was apparently running against another Democrat. That's how liberal California is. They just have Democrats running against each other over there. You know, I'm glad I don't have to hear what these. I'm really disappointed that John James lost in Michigan. I really thought that he was a strong candidate, and I think he'll probably be back. Going through some of the different, a lot of the governorships did stay. Now I think I asked you already. Did you have any articles, anything like that you wanted to go over? Did I lose you, Maggie Dave? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, man.
Okay,
that's all right. Acting weird.
Well, we'll wind it down anyway. That's the difference between speaking live and from the heart. we are speaking truth here. We're not reading off a prompter. But yeah, from what this is looking like, there are 24 Republican governors, 19 Democrats. But did you have any articles, anything like that you wanted to go over before we're done here?
No, I mean, a lot of it's going to be probably tomorrow and the next, you know, in the coming days. I always like to see the kind of the breakdown of like these, like which polls got it right, you know.
Right.
It's harder to tell nowadays, especially since the last election. It's always interesting to me to see which polls were right or which polls had it fairly right from the beginning. That's always kind of an interesting thing to me. And of course if the Democrats do end up winning the House, you know, there'll be lots of, I mean, the shit storm's going to begin, you know?
Well, and see, I'm looking at these. They say the hot house races.
Mm-hmm.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are California races where the Republican is the incumbent. And they're pretty close races. They're either really close or the Republican is ahead. And so I do think that California is a little more even though there's a lot up for grabs there.
Right.
But kind of going through and looking, there were just a lot of races that were, these were the hotly contested races in like Florida, Illinois, where the Republican incumbent was beaten. And it's one of those things, Illinois, Florida, they can lean left. So it's not a huge surprise. I definitely don't think it's any kind of a referendum on Trump.
It's funny how, you know, Illinois, it's that whole Chicago area, you know, it's real blue. And then the rest of it is primarily red, you know, as you get basically from the central part on south.
Right. Well, and there, you know, it's just weird going down some of these races. All the races that they have is hotly contested races, aside from some of the ones that have already been called for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They all look like they're real close or leaning Republican. Mm-hmm. So the Democrats on the little ticker here on the Fox News channel, they keep gaining. They're up by 7 now. Getting closer to that 218 mark. But a lot of these races in California feel like they could go Republican, or they are going to go Republican. I mean, I'm looking at, there is, and I'll just go over this real quick and then we'll go ahead and call this. But the California 10th District, Denham is the incumbent. There's 43% in. He's up 51-49. So, I mean, obviously that one's still pretty much up in the air.
Right.
But it's going to be close.
Which one was
California,
that?
California 10.
10? Yeah, I'm showing only like 56% reporting on that as well.
But it's a close one. It could go Republican. Then you have the California 25. That's only like 30%, but the Republican is the incumbent. It's neck and neck. The California 39, well, it's real early, and that one only 4%. So a lot of these are close, but they've barely had anybody report in them. But what I was kind of saying too was that the Republican was the incumbent. There's one here for Kansas with 99% reported. That one looks like it's going to go for the Republican. There's one in Maine here where only 46% have reported, but the incumbent Republican is ahead. There's one Milwaukee, that one,
Michigan.
Okay, 92% Milwaukee.
Originally pronounced Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, the state within the city of Wisconsin.
Boom.
But that Michigan 8 has Bishop, the incumbent, looking like he's going to win with 92% reported. Minnesota, 69%. It's neck and neck. New Jersey, 99%. Looks like that incumbent is going to win. So with so many of these so close,
they're probably basing a lot of their stuff off the past, you know, like what it has gone to in the past. And, you know, Trump changed politics, man. So you just never know.
Yeah. Well, I hope I wake up in the morning and they're like, it was totally fucking crazy. Fox News was wrong about everything.
Hey, honestly, look at the presidential election. Pretty much everyone was wrong on it. So,
yeah,
you never know. I mean, it doesn't look good for us winning the House, but we're looking at, in my opinion, biased results at best right now. I mean, some of them are done reporting and stuff, but
I mean, we'll just have to see. It's probably an educated guess. It probably is going to happen like what they're saying. I'm irritated in a lot of ways that they were calling this shit hours ago when the polls mm-hmm. were still open. You know, that to me just kind of reeks of tampering. It's like, I feel like if there's polling stations still open, then you shouldn't fucking call whole races. It wasn't like they said, well, we think this one race is over. They said, okay, well, we're going to declare that the Democrats are going to win the House. And this was when like barely anybody had reported.
Yeah. They just want to be able to say we were the first to report it. Cause I mean, I don't know if Fox News, I know they reported that, you know, pretty early.
Yeah. They're like bragging about it and mm-hmm. they're like, well, this is how we know. And they have a computer room with a bunch of fat dickheads back there with like computers in front of them. It's like, what are they doing? Fucking Google and shit. Like, this is your team of crackpot guys who were out there going, yep. Okay. Well, let's see. Democrats are going to win the House. That's for sure. We figured that out. We Googled it and we got it from Politico and they seem to do their research every time. just say it on TV and maybe it'll come true.
An unbiased fact checking source, if there ever was one, is the Politico.
Right. Fuckers. Well, we'll go ahead and call this podcast, but I think that what we did here as a recap, we just kind of took you through the process. I know that it's going to mean a little bit less for people who are listening to this later. And so some of the real-time stuff that's coming in, but you know, this was an important midterm. I do think that a lot of the pundits and people hyped it up to an extreme level because they wanted turnout. They wanted people to feel like it was important. And I think that's one of the great things about what's going on. Turnout was high. People are paying attention. People care what's going on. And that's what you want. I mean, I'd love to see where we can get more than 50% of the population interested in getting out and voting, because then you'll truly start to feel like you're represented, because the people that you're electing are going to have to appeal to a broader base. They don't just have to appeal to potential voters. So I think it's a good thing on either side for people to come out. And, you know, Sean Hannity and Rush, and not so much Rush, but like Mark Levin, Sean Hannity have been giving me nightmares about the Democrats winning the House. But I don't think it's going to be that bad. It never is. It's kind of going to be a media shitstorm, but the best thing that you can do is tune them out. You don't have to listen to them because you can listen to us. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm going to listen to them either, but I'm going to listen to people that listen to them. I'm going to get their take, sort of bastardize it and give it to you. So maybe it's a better package. I mean,
it'll be, it'll be great for, like you said, the media. I just have this feeling it's just going to be kind of this, not a whole lot of stuff is going to get done necessarily, but.
Right. Well, that's saying, I think Trump's like cool with that because that just gives him time to talk some mad shit. And I think that's what he wants to do anyway.
That's what it's going to become, is he's going to out these people, and they're really going to show, because I mean, Maxine Waters is already an idiot. a crazy idiot. I mean,
right.
And Pelosi's not too far behind her, you know, so these people going in there thinking they're going to run roughshod over Donald Trump is just, it's going to be entertaining to watch. I'll say that, you know, watching Trump just handle these people and it'll be entertaining, you know.
Right.
That's one thing it'll be.
Well, you know, and there's going to be a lot of smoke, I think, blown the first three or four months of the year, where there's going to be a lot of posturing because these people have been out of power for 8 years. They were out of power after the first 2 years of Obama, and they had to play second fiddle during Obama's pregnancy. They had to watch the Republicans do everything they could to stop Obama's agenda. They're, you know, they're pissed, but they're old and they're fucking irrelevant. And they're trying to appeal to like an impossible base of people who will not be satisfied no matter what they do. So they're in a worse, they're in a bad situation because their party is being held up by geriatric nutbags. And, you know, it's they don't have the energy to keep up with Trump. They don't have the stamina. They don't have the fucking brain power. And so I think in a lot of ways it is going to expose them. But I think it's going to be ugly for a while. And I think it is going to be worth for the sanity of the average person just not paying attention to it for a while. Just turn off the news. That's the best thing that you can do, is turn off the news, whatever you watch, wherever you get your news from. Stay off Facebook. Get off Twitter. You know, take – don't get caught up in the drama, because that's what the Democrats are going to count on. They're going to count on that people get sort of worn out defending Trump over all these different things, worn out with this constant yada, yada, yada. And I might be really worried about it if there was any substance to it, if I thought that Trump was guilty of something. But honestly, I know this for a fact. If he was guilty of something, they would have found it. They would have fucking found it the last 2 years, because Trump has had everybody up his ass. He's had the FBI. He's had the DNC, he's had the freaking CIA, he's had like the Australian, the British, the freaking Russian. I mean, he's had like the world's intelligence agencies plus the United States looking with a fine, you know, with a white glove, looking for any little dirty, dusty spots in his past. And I mean, you know, they really haven't found anything. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not terribly concerned at the political acuity of any of these people. And I think that they're, at the end of the day, they're just going to end up being punching bags because, you know, just like Trump says, okay, well, you know what? I'm president and you're not. You know, fuck you. You're a representative from California that's got $4 million in the house? Like, you know, I'm Trump. I'm a billionaire. I'm the president. And I think it's going to be, there's going to be some great memes that come out of this, some great tweets. And I think there's going to be some savage shit that gets laid down.
Oh yeah, it'll definitely be, like I said, there won't be a lot of stuff getting done other than the Democrats, like these old geriatric crypt keepers are going to be exposed even more so than what they already are. I mean, like right now, I'm just wondering like what level of craziness and absurdity is Maxine Waters going to get to? Is she just literally going to turn into like a mumbling, incoherent black woman up there just rambling on about nothing, you know?
Eventually people are just going to stop listening and that'll basically be that. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I don't know how bold it is or not, but I'm going to say here that I think that there is going to be, after this posturing period, when the Democrats discover that they're not hurting Trump in his popularity polls, because anytime Trump starts getting attacked he has this sort of sympathy factor with his base. And I think that what's going to happen is the Democrats are going to try these kind of usual, tactics that they try to use. And that when that doesn't work, I think they're as a last ditch effort going into 2020. I think they're going to try to work with him. I think they're going to, because you had so many of these Democrat senators trying to keep their jobs that were promising to work with Trump in desperation. I think you'll get that if they realize after the first few months that they're not making much damage. I think you're going to start getting that. You're going to have people that want to work with him and are going to try to get stuff done with him so that they can claim that.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
It'll be interesting the next couple of years. There'll be lots of, like you said, lots of savageness.
It'll be interesting and then totally uninteresting and stupid.
There'll be times where it will be very interesting, and then there'll be times where you'll just like go away from it for a week.
I'll just get on Twitter a few times and go, okay, well, fuck it. That was all I needed. No. But, you know, we did score a lot of victories here. Not having Andrew Gillum, you know, having Bill Nelson go down. I was going to try to check and look real quick and see if that Stacey Abrams or whatever her name is, whether or not, was that a governor race? I think there was a...
Yeah, I think that was Georgia governor race, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, well, it looks like Kemp is going to win. But I don't know. They're not shading in. It's still white, so I don't think they know yet. I think there's still, like, when Atlanta and those results start coming in, because right now it's Kemp is at 1.8 million, which is 53%. Abrams is at 1.6 million. So, and their percent that has been counted is 83%. So I think it's probably still too close for Fox to call because they haven't put a little color-coded thing on there. I'd love to see her lose too. I'd love to see that kind of the tide of sort of these far, far leftists, because at the end of the day, Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, they're not far leftists. They just blow in the wind. You know, they'll do whatever they have to do to retain power and money and things like that.
Right.
But these people like Gillum, Abrams, they need to be defeated, because there needs to be a clear message sent to them and people like them. And I just want to see how that Ocasio-Cortez lady is treated by her Democrat colleagues who are going to be like, hey, why don't you go get me some fucking coffee? You don't know jack shit, and you make us look bad. Anyway, well, you know, maybe we'll try to do another one of these later on in the week or early next week after we've had a little bit of time to see what some of the reactions, some of the pundits say. I think that the past few weeks, a lot of these people have been trying to whip the voters up into a frenzy to get them out to vote. I think they're going to start to kind of cater some of that stuff or try to bring it back a little bit. So we'll see. But for Glenn Keck and for MAGA Dave, we're signing off on election night, the midterms 2018. We're going to have two more years of turmoil, but overall, there was no blue wave, and I think that's the victory in and of itself. So y'all be safe and have a wonderful, beautimous night.